Blog Talk Radio.
No!
Hallelujah. Mokoshe bakare, bakare. Father, we agree with your plan today. We thank you that we serve a God like you. You are Jehovah Jireh, a mighty provider. You provide a way where it seems to be no way, oh God. I thank you, Father God, that you allow us to trip on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt us. We tread down the wicked. They are ashes under our feet. We will arise and thrash and beat the enemy down into pieces. We rebuke every wild boar of the field in the name of Jesus. We rebuke every spirit that creeps forth from the forest. We rebuke every beast of the forest that comes to devour. We rebuke every lion of the forest that comes to slay. We close the door to every demonic rat that would attempt to come into our lives in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you are an honorable God, and there's no God like you, Jehovah. We bind, expose, and cast out every demon that's tried to come, sleep undetected, into our lives. Lord, cleanse our temple and drive out the thief from our lives. Lord, lift up a standard against any flood the enemy will try to bring into our lives. We bind and cast out all familiar spirits that try to operate in our lives in the name of Jesus. We bind and rebuke every demon that would try to block our way in the name of Jesus. We remove all leavening and malice and wickedness from our lives in the name of Jesus. We bind and rebuke devils in high places in the name of Jesus. We break off any fellowship with devils through sin, the flesh, or sacrifice in the name of Jesus. We command all devils to leave our children in the name of Jesus. Lord, expose any human devils in our lives in the name of Jesus. Lord, expose any children of the devil that would try to come up against us and our families, our church families in any way, in Jesus' name. Let every hidden, every spirit hiding from us be exposed in the name of Jesus. Let every hidden snare from our feet be exposed. I stand against and rebuke every wile of the devil. We release ourselves from any snare of the devil in the name of Jesus. Let no doctrine, Lord, let no doctrine of devil be established in our lives. We will not come into condemnation of the devil. We nullify the power of any sacrifice made to devils in our city, region, nation, in the name of Jesus. Well, welcome to Boys to Men, Girls to Ladies. What a wonderful day our God has given us to worship, bless, to favor, to adore him. And I thank God that the Almighty gives us mercy. He's a merciful God. He's an everlasting God. And he's the God who we serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, he's a very powerful God. And we can't even begin to think or imagine how powerful he is. How he took, you know, he just spoke everything into his existence. He said, let there be. And there was light. Oh, my God, what a great God we serve. He just used his voice and spoke everything into existence. And, you know, even the sun, the moon, the stars obey him. They shine at just the time he set them to shine. And, you know, one beautiful thing, there are many, 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 many things that we can't even begin to say how beautiful they are about our God. But one of the things is, you know, he is an awesome God, and he don't sleep. He's with us right now. You know he's over there with you. and he's over here with me. He's with everybody. One awesome thing. He's everywhere in the world at the same time. He's in Bermuda. He's in Hawaii. He's in France. He's in Rome. He's in Spain. He's in Philadelphia. He's in New York. He's in New Jersey. He's in Houston, Texas. He's everywhere. He's in Louisiana, everywhere. There is no place our God is not. He's everywhere, all at the same time. And you know what? He's going to be with us forever. He is not a man. He don't lie. You know, he thinks awesome thoughts about his children. He thinks good thoughts about us to bring us to our expected end. There's nobody like Jehovah. He is almighty. You know what? He will hear us when we seek him with all of our heart and search for him. We will find him. He said he will be found, and we can find him when we search for him with all of our heart. And you know what? He turned the enemy away from us. He's such an awesome God now. It's nothing impossible to our God. Oh, you know, he's so mighty, and he listens to even our inner cries. We don't even have to open our mouths. He can hear. He knows our thoughts. Our God is awesome. He knows the intents of our heart. He knows when we're serious and when we're not. And you know, one thing I like about our God, another thing, is he's a joyful God. He loves for his children to laugh and have fun. He created fun. He loves for us to laugh and enjoy life. He didn't intend for us to be dreary. No, even on rainy, dreary days, he wants us to have fun. So, you know, we can have fun. We can enjoy God. We can have laughter. Oh, you know what? If you remember in the Bible, there's a story about Abraham and Sarah. And you know what? They were getting older, and they still hadn't had children. And God had promised them children. Well, you know what? They just was, you know, they were just still, their faith hadn't come to a certain level yet. And so, you know, Abraham was 100, and Sarah was about, you know, 90. And God said, you're going to have a child. And she started to laugh. She thought that was funny. She started to laugh. So then guess what? The child did come forth. Isaac, they called him Laughter because she laughed. She just thought that was so funny. Well, guess what? God still allowed that child to come forth. You know, we serve an awesome God, and he's a joyful God. We have to give him joyful praise. He don't want us to be down in the dumps and always moping around and worried and frustrated and upset. No, he's a joyful God, and he created families. Ah, yes, he did, and he loved it when families enjoy one another. They laugh together. They talk together. They pray together. They stay together, and they serve the Most High God together. And when things are funny, they know how to laugh. When things are serious, they know how to be serious. But I thank God that he created laughter. We can enjoy life. He wants us to celebrate him with joy in our heart. Well, you know, today we are so blessed because it's a man of God that's going to bring the word today. He's full of laughter now. He's a comedian. He's come on Bible Storyland. He comes on weekly. I believe it's just about a year or so he's been coming on. His wife comes on. His children come on. And you know what? He know how to make people laugh. And you know who gave him that gift? God gave him that gift. It's no talent that we got on our own. He ain't just developed the gift of laughter, of making things funny. No, God gave him that gift. And so, you know, we're delighted today to have Brother David on with us. You know, Brother David is he's an awesome man of God. God created him over 40 years ago, and, you know, he blessed him with gifts and talents. He blessed him to be a husband. He blessed him to be a father, a son. You know, he's a relative of people, and I thank God because he's faithful to come on Bible Storyland. Now, he comes on weekly, and, you know, he has created a song for Bible Story Land. So we're just so happy to have him on today. Good evening, Brother David. How are you? Hello? Brother David, are you there?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I closed off. I'm sorry. Okay. You ready for me?
No, I got something I can do. I mean, I have a lesson to teach if you want to come on last.
No. I better go now because I just know I was in and out.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Glory be to God.
All right. I was just introducing you.
Well, amen.
Are you sitting up so you won't be in and out?
I'm sitting up now in the sofa. I'm sitting up.
Okay. All right. Don't get too comfortable.
Yeah. Well, so it's an honor and a privilege to be able to talk to the kids and to the adults. And I think, well, my goal here is inspiration and motivation, but I kind of want to take people on a journey like my life has been on. I am the youngest of three siblings, and my parents got my mom was from Williston, South Carolina, and my father's from Jacksonville, Florida. And my father he did 25 years in Jacksonville Sheriff's Office here in Florida. But the point is, back in the day when those two got together, they made people get married, you know. When they conceived my sister, they pretty much made the two of them get married. And so, as a result, you had two very different individuals. So, they got divorced when I was 2 years old, and we wound up living with my grandma in Carolina. And she wasn't the nicest grandma. I mean, she was real strict on us as far as beating us and mentally, just the negative things she would say mentally. And, you know, she did her kids like that. My mom said she was treated the same way. And it really had a major effect on my mom being brought up that way. It affected her whole life. But she could never get from up under her mother. And to stand by and watch my mother live like that from day to day was kind of painful. And in fact, one point I even asked her, had she given her life to Christ? And she said, yes, she did. So I said, when? Tell me about it. You know, because she had so much going on in her life. And I think right at that time that I asked her, I was beginning to start my personal walk of giving my life to Christ. And a lot of times adults don't have the same walk with Christ. Everybody may not have the same walk with Christ. I don't know. But she said she went off in the woods and cried out to Christ and asked him to take charge of her life, you know, many years ago. But I just couldn't see, you know, with the way and all the hardships she was going through, I just couldn't see her relationship with Christ. But they got divorced when I was two, and all while I was growing up, I could never figure out why couldn't I have both my parents like everybody else. And a lot of times as a kid, you will blame your life situation because your parents weren't there. But that is the way God had it designed. And you cannot go through your whole life and blame everything that happens to you on your parents, because that will be a long, miserable life. I even see adults today that are still blaming their parents for their life. When you become an adult, you now have control of your life. You are actually in control of your life. And if anything, you learn from your childhood, and you make your adulthood better than your childhood. Now, a lot of you should be having great childhoods because a lot of adults now, they really care about the kids and they're putting a whole lot into you, to you kids, and they're talking to you. And hopefully you're taking this information and doing positive, great things. Because God built us to be successful. He made us from the smallest speck of dust, but we are such phenomenal human beings, and we can do anything that we put our minds to. And God made us because he loved us, because he wants us to win, because he wants us to be successful. And a lot of times people will tell you, no, you can't do something, or they'll say negative stuff. Do you know that over 80% of the people that you run into are going to be negative, and 20% of those people are going to be positive? But you should always live your life to please God and not man. That is the key. So we kind of talked about my childhood, so it wasn't the best. Or, you know, my grandmother brought me up and told me I would never be nothing in life, and that my father didn't love me because he wasn't there, you know, when I was a kid, and just all types of negative stuff. And also, I had a speech impediment when I was a kid, they nicknamed me Jeff, and which I really hated. But they, you know, the family that I grew up with as a kid, we would fight. They would make us fight each other. Nobody supported each other. Everybody was always trying to outdo each other. My uncle came up this weekend, and I was showing him some comedy stuff we did on TV, and he's well in his 50s. And instead of watching it and celebrating and saying, oh, man, you guys are awesome, that's good, he said, I'm funnier than them. I can do a better job than them. You know, so that's in their spirit, and sometimes it's built in the people, and they carry it throughout life. But you can see, I sit back and look at some of them, and today they are alcoholics, or they do drugs, or they do this, and they still do it today. And the thing about growing up in Carolina at my grandmother's place where I grew up, on the outside, they wanted to portray themselves as Christians, as clean people, as biblical people. But on the inside, they were mean and rotten to the bone. And you see, you may get by man and deceive man and make man think that you're clean and Christian, but you cannot get past God. God is watching you the whole time. Now, I don't wish for bad stuff to happen to them, you know, because they gave me a nickname and because they said I would never be nothing in life. I love them, and I pray for them, and I want them to have the best. But they have to want it for themselves. A lot of people don't want it for themselves. And they see your life, and they want to make you feel guilty because you were obedient to God. You know, that is the beginning of wisdom, to fear the Lord. Once you start being obedient to God, then you have wisdom. I can remember back in the military, from my childhood, I started out going to Bible school, Bible study and all that. And so I had the word, but I was not focused on it. And even as an adult, everything tried to keep me from the Bible. Everything. And I was even studying Islam at one time. And there came a day, this was in 2001, and I was at work. And I work around a lot of boxes where we ship stuff for people. And two boxes bust open. One had the Qurans in them, the Islamic books, and one had the Bible. And it was like God was saying, which path are you going to choose? You know what both of them are about. Which one are you going to choose? And I chose the Bible. And it was good that I experienced the Islamic part because, you know, they have a lot of knowledge. But as far as being reborn again, that rebirth, when you give your life to Christ, that's a decision you're going to have to make in your life. You know, when I was a kid, they made me get baptized. You know, it wasn't an option. It was something you did at a certain point in your life. They said, you going up there and get baptized. And so I went, you know, but it was well in my late 20s before I decided to lay down my life and give it to God. and, you know, ask Jesus to come into my heart and take charge of my life. And when I did that, you know, life has never been the same. I felt the light of brightness. You know, my spirit just would glow. Other people would see it. I wouldn't even tell them nothing. I had this one guy would walk around and say, "Your light is shining," you know. And I just wanted to get closer to God. That's all I wanted. But the whole point is I have an opportunity to talk to you kids because I didn't really grow up with strong male leadership. I didn't really grow up with people telling me that get a closer relationship with God. Because, see, one thing you need to understand is you can still be a cool person and dedicate your whole life to God. You know, people will respect you. What I like to share with is Proverbs, which is the book of wisdom. I'm going to read 10. And I would say, when I first heard this, I was like, why didn't somebody share this with me when I was younger? Because a lot of times I went down the wrong path. And some of those times I was the leader leading people down those paths. You know, I was even a leader back then. But Proverbs chapter 1, I recommend if you are a young person, the best thing you can do for yourself is learn that book of Proverbs. If you don't commit to anything else, read one chapter per day, whatever day of the week it is, because that is the book of wisdom. And that will keep you out of a whole lot of trouble. You know, life won't be easy when you give your life to God, but it will be better than it ever would be if you didn't give your life to God. So Proverbs chapter 1, starting at verse 10, it says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." So if people come to you and say, "Come on, man, hey, let's go do this, man. Hey, you want to be cool, man? Come hang with me. Come do this. Come drink with me. Come smoke this thing with me. Come, let's go rob somebody." This is saying don't do that. And you can easily say, "Hey, man, you know, we cool and everything. That's your thing, what you want to do. I don't agree with it. But if that's what you're going to do, you go ahead. I won't be a part of that." That person will still respect you. In fact, he's going to respect you probably more than he respects himself or herself. But you, if you let a person know where you stand right from the beginning, and you say, "Hey, man, come on, you scared. You a chicken. You a punk. Hey, man, hey, you go ahead. Go ahead on, man. I know that's not the right thing to do, but if that's what you want to do, I can't stop you. You know, don't go with them." The next line said, they'll say, "If they say, come with us, let us lie and wait to shed blood." You know, that's when people used to sit and wait and rob people. Now, I don't want to share my past with people too much because it is not my goal to build a negative relationship with you and share, "Oh, I did all these bad things," and, you know, but a lot of this stuff here I did do as a young teenager, and I didn't even have to do it. That's the sad part about it. But they say, "Let's wait, let's sit right here and wait to rob somebody or shed their blood or bust them in the head." You don't want to go with nobody who want to do something like that, man. You don't want to hurt nobody. You know, and you have to, a lot of times as a kid, you don't think about the consequences. I know people tell you to think about the consequences, but when you're hanging with your buddies a lot of times, it's more about, "Oh, I won't be cool. He ain't going to think I'm cool if I don't do this. I won't be," no, you are not cool if you do it. You are more cool if you say, "Man, that don't even make sense. I ain't doing that dumb stuff, man." You know, it says, "Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause." They got no reason to mess with the innocent. "Let us swallow them up alive like a Sheila," or whatever that word is, "and whole like those that go down into the pit." It says we'll find all types of possessions, and we'll fill our house with spoil. See, they trying to take stuff from people, people that work hard for that stuff, and then you're going to come and take it. See? That's not right from the beginning, because you wouldn't want nobody taking nothing from you that you didn't work hard for. You know, and I had to learn that the hard way, because, you know, what you do will come back on you. So It said, cast in your lot among us. They're saying cast everything together. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. See, God is telling you, don't even walk with them. That's God saying that. Every word in this Bible is directly from the mouth of God. This is the only thing that we have that connects us. Well, you know, we can pray, but his living word is what he gave us. That's what we have to connect with God. So every word in this book comes directly from his mouth. And man cannot spoil it. He will try, but he can't. It says, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. You know, and they're spreading the net. You know, but really it's their blood that they're giving up. It's their life that they're messing up. You know, some people get caught and they be locked up the rest of their life. Let me tell you, the first thing is you don't want to put yourself in that predicament. When you do something, you are actually giving another man the opportunity to make a decision on how you're going to spend the rest of your life or what kind of marks are going to be against you in life. You know, you let another man decide that. So why would you put yourself in that predicament? That's what you need to think about first. If I do this, they could lock me up for 10, 20, 30 years. They could put in my record book that I'm a felony or a misdemeanor, and I'm going to have that scar the rest of my life. I got to go before a man and beg him for my life, beg him for my freedom. That man will tell you when to eat, when to sleep, when to go to the bathroom. You can't watch TV. You can't go outside and play. You can't do none of that stuff. You don't want to put your life in the hands of another man. Never. Or woman. You know, you don't want to do that. Okay, so Proverbs, that's just a little bit. I'm going to give you some Proverbs because that is phenomenal. I'm like, if I had that when I was younger, that's phenomenal. All right. Now, we got gospel rappers out there. There's a lot of them that's good, and they are an example of how you can rap for the Lord. Trust me, I got two or three raps that I wrote, and I was writing them to promote a play or to promote something. It was out of inspiration. And those things started turning out to be so phenomenal. I even made a video with my son in there. And another coworker that's a gangster rapper, I got him to come over and do stuff for the Lord. You know, I mean, it's God working. I say I, you know, because I participated in it. But it was such a blessing, and it was so phenomenal, and it was so much ease, and it turned out so beautiful. When you do something for God, it'll turn out beautiful than you could ever imagine. You know, so everything you do, try to let it be inspiration and be for God. Okay, you're going to get to enjoy it. If you do it for God, you will get to enjoy it. Another thing a preacher shared with me today is to tell you all to dress for success. Okay, my parents used to tell me that all the time growing up. And, you know, I didn't pay it that much attention. I know my daddy told me no earrings, no tattoos, you know, because my dad worked for the sheriff's office when I moved with him as a teenager, you know. And it really, you don't need those tattoos. You know, you're defiling the temple. This is God. Your body is God's temple. Your body belongs to God. It really don't belong to you. He's just allowing you to travel the earth with it. So you really don't need to be getting them tattoos and marking it all up and all that stuff. You know, take care of your body. My grandma used to tell me from Jacksonville, and she was the sweetest thing, my grandma from Jacksonville, take care of your body, and your body will take care of you. That's what she used to tell us. The early bird gets the worm. Obedience is better than sacrifice. All these things she used to say to us, my grandma from Jacksonville, were things that enrich life. You know, so I got to see two different grandmas from two different spectrums. You know, both served their purpose. God had a purpose for both of them. And I love them both the same. Just one of them gave me some good spiritual food, you know. So, you know, the tattoo and dress for success. There's no reason to have your pants down like that. That's not cool. Keep your clothes up nice. And trust me, I used to be trying to act all tough and rough as a kid, and there was other kids that were more spiritually developed and disciplined that they used to dress normal, and they didn't let other people intimidate them and persuade them to do something that wasn't good to be doing. And I look back over the years, and I can just see their face and see how they carried themselves because they had good spiritual discipline. Don't be ashamed to be different from the vast majority. Because if you notice, I said 80% of the people you meet gonna be negative minded, and only 20% gonna be positive. That's a small number. So, all right. And another thing, they got a whole lot going on about these different, you know, people sleeping with the same sex and all that. I really don't even like touching that issue, but it's totally getting out of hand, and I don't think people really focus on it. I mean, to me, it's common sense. Do you know that you, me, anybody, you would not be here today if it wasn't for a man and a woman? That's what it took for you and I to be here today, a man and a woman. So if you change that in any kind of way, you are stopping the natural order of life. So, you know, I understand some people might get confused. I understand you got to have compassion for people and you love them all. But they also should have common sense to say, if it wasn't for a man and a woman, they wouldn't be breathing here today. They wouldn't be here today. So they are denying other people from being here today. That goes against the natural order of man, I mean of God. And it's that simple. It takes a man and a woman for life to exist. You know, and that's real basic. Real basic. Another thing that I'm learning here the past couple of weeks is don't share everything with everyone. You know, a lot of times I get excited because God will do something for me, you know, because so many people have told me, oh, you ain't no good at this. Oh, you going to fail at that. Oh, you this and that. You that. See, because remember I said 80% of the people you meet going to be negative. Even as an adult, you got to deal with people that act like little kids. That's going to be throughout your whole life. But if you put this scripture in you and read this word, that's going to give you wisdom, and you'll be able to deal with them. So what was happening is God would show me something and say, I got this for you, David. I got this for you. I got this for you. And me with my big mouth, I'd go run and tell everybody. I'd be so happy. Oh, I'm getting ready to do this. I'm getting ready to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And then I'm telling people that don't care about me, you know, a lot of people don't have your best interest in mind. But God, you know, God does. But you share with them and God say, oh, and you know, I had something. That was my secret for me and you. That was something I was going to share with you. But now you done told this person because you want to boast and brag. You want them to see you doing this. You want to show out. So now I got to take this from you. And some things didn't come to fruition. But I learned this week right now, if I keep my mouth shut and be humble, man, I mean blessings start pouring like you wouldn't believe. I'm telling you. When you learn to keep that mouth shut, they say the tongue is the hardest thing to tame. And that's true. That's true. You know, because you got people that are, they seek the approval of other people. And that's like a disease. My mother had that problem. You know, she couldn't let negative people go. And I kind of had that problem a little bit too. We all have it a little bit. You know, but we gotta stay strong with God. And, yeah, I don't know where I am on time. But I know when I go to the library, I started thinking. I was riding the other day. I drive trucks right now. And I did 4 years in the Marine. And one thing I noticed, God's grace and mercy and favor has always been over my life. From the day I was born until this day. And every morning I wake up, his grace, his favor, and his love is right there. It's not going nowhere. God is right there with you. But, you know, I go to the library because if I can't find positive people to talk to, I can go get a book off the shelf, a book on CD, somebody positive. And, you know, they have motivational speakers. They have inspirational speakers. But you can't go up in that library and say, give me a book that will make me depressed. Give me a book that will make me negative-minded. They don't have a section for that. You know, at least I don't think they do. I never went in and asked them for. But the point is, there's come the time in your life when you're going to have to make a decision. You know, I no longer want to hear that negative stuff. I only want to hear what God has to say, positive stuff. He said, I came to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. You know, why would he tell us that if he didn't mean it? You know, so I don't know where I am on time. I don't want to take up all the time. Where am I, Sister G?
Well, you know what, Brother David? My message and yours go hand in hand. We're kind of in the same vein.
Okay. Well, praise the Lord.
Yeah, you want to come on next week? You could continue. Hello?
You say come on? Yes, ma'am. You say come on again next week?
Yeah, continue, because it's really good what you're sharing. I mean, it's so great what you're sharing. I really appreciate, you know, how you're sharing just about your life and then into life and about, you know, how Solomon was teaching his son and, you know, just everyday life that a lot of young people don't even know. So I appreciate the wisdom that you're putting over the air to our young people. And, you know, being a male like you are, they'll listen to you, especially the young males, they'll listen to you because, you know, you have a lot of wisdom and you're a husband, you're a father, and you got a lot of wisdom. I mean, the things that you're sharing is so great. I'm going to be talking about Christian dating God's way. So we're right in the same page right there.
Amen. Well,
yep.
I just wanted to make sure I went over the 10 minutes, but now I tell you, if you have an opportunity, sometimes you got to follow, but God gives you the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. When you have God, you're going to get those things.
Yes, he does.
And
yeah.
Even if you read Proverbs will give you the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Now, you want to read more than that, but you take little baby steps at first. And, you know, because I met a guy later on, and he told me, man, I knew all about Proverbs. I learned that when I was a kid, you know, because I was sharing with him what I was doing. I was like, man, if I had that when I was a teenager, man, do you know some of the pitfalls I could have avoided? You know, but the guy was saying he liked the way that I talked to people about the Bible. He had more knowledge on the Bible than I did, but he didn't have in his spirit to go share with everybody. You see?
Right, he didn't have the practical stuff like you were able to share the practical side of it.
Right, because see, let me tell you now, I don't have that many friends. You know, I might have one or two or something like that, and I don't just agree with people, because if people... Some people want to be negative and say, oh, this can't happen, this can't work, this can't. This. I'm not going to agree with you because you're not going to get me in that pit with you. You know, because God said I could do all things.
That's
see, and we only use a small percentage of our brain. You know, I became a health nut because I started driving trucks. So then on top of that, I had family members that had high blood, diabetes. You know, congestion.
Yeah,
heart.
Brother David, I want to stop you. We will not call ourselves health nuts. We will call ourselves eating properly. That's the way God intended for us to eat. We're not health. That's just what people label us. But you say you don't always. I disagree with that. I feel that sometimes people is not. They're not using wisdom in how to eat because you put in. That's what's going to come out. You ain't putting that nutritional in there, you're going to break down in your health. So if
Amen.
You don't mind, Brother David, I want you to stop. Put a little stop sign right there in that message. Next week, I want you to bring that message. But I hope you can continue to listen because I want to bring this. Some of the things you're saying is going to connect right to what I'm saying today.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to be on here.
Okay.
I'm awake now. I got the energy and spirit flowing through me. I'm awake.
All right. So we're talking about Christian dating God's way. And, you know, like Brother David was talking in Proverbs. Well, in Proverbs, you know, about the fifth chapter, Solomon tells his son about immorality, particularly the immoral woman. Now, that can be a man or a woman, but he's telling him about the immoral woman. You know, her lips are like honey. Her mouth is smoother than oil, but in the end, she's bitter than wormwood. That's a terrible medicine for worms. And boy, you're talking about make you sick. Before you feel better, you're going to be sick from taking that wormwood. She's sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Listen to this now. Her steps lay hold of hell. Least you ponder her path of life, her way is unstable. You do not know them. Well, today I want to talk to you about Christian dating God's way. You know, in the Bible days, it talks about espousal. It's a marriage or an engagement. You know, they didn't do dating then in Bible days. They saw, you know, someone they liked, their family, you know, approved or disapproved, and mates were chosen for them. And the story of Jacob and Rachel is a love story. It's found in Genesis 29:18. And Jacob loved Rachel. When he saw her, he just fell right in love with her. And he told her father, he said, look, I want to serve 7 years for free. Now, her father wasn't paying him. He served 7 years for Rachel for free. Now, what guy today going to wait 7 years for a woman? They're not going to have sex with him. They're just going to wait 7 years and go to work and put the money up for a woman. Now, you know, Rachel had to be some kind of woman. She wasn't just beautiful outside. I'm sure he saw beauty on the inside of her. Because I'm telling you, you know, outside beauty going to fade. But when he saw her, he fell in love with her. What kind of woman, you know, would cause a man to work for her, you know, for her father for 7 years with no pay? What kind of person was Jacob that he would work 7 years without pay for a woman that he loved? I don't know too many young men that's going to do that today. The Bible says she was beautiful and well-favored. You know, she was shapely. She was beautiful. What was Jacob's character like? You know, in the beginning, Jacob, in Genesis 25, Jacob was kind of cunning and crafty. You know, he was a con artist. You know, his brother came to him one day, and his brother had been working, so his brother was hungry. And Jacob was, you know, he was a smart man. Now, he could cook. So he cooked a meal, and he told his brother, he said, you hungry? He said, look, if I cook this here food, and if you give me your birthright, I'll give you this food. Now, you know, some people are kind of foolish. You know, just like you got a house that your parents gave you, and you come and you hungry, and you, that house don't mean nothing to you. You didn't pay no money for it. You didn't buy it. So, you know, he said, look, you know, give me your birthright, and I'll give you this pot of food. Now, that was just for the moment. He said, I'm hungry right now. I'm starving. Now, you know, he wasn't starving. He eat every day. So, he conned his brother out of his birthright. Now, he reaped the results of his own sin. That was a sin for him to do that. You know, God didn't like it. But guess what? When you reap results, you suffer consequences. Like Brother David was saying, you suffer consequences. He said if he knew what he knew, you know, now, you know, Brother David said if he knew Proverbs now or then when he was a young man growing up, he would have avoided the pitfalls. But I'm telling you, you can know a lot of pitfalls and you still could fall into them. You know, Adam and Eve knew the pitfalls. God had told Adam, he told Eve, but the snake still was so cunning and crafty, just like Jacob. So, you know, when you read in Genesis, he became religious. He became a religious man, and, you know, he began to ask God to forgive him for his sins. And he overcame a lot of stuff, you know, in his life. He was sorry, but, you know, the consequences still came. Now, when you read over in Genesis 28:10, Genesis 28:10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Now, you know what? His brother got so angry with him when he came to himself, you know, after he got full, ate a meal, and he realized his brother had conned him, he got so angry. So Jacob's mother said, listen, go away to visit Laban. You know, that's Rachel's father. They were related. He said, go away. Go over there and visit them till your brother get over his anger. Now, can you imagine you, your brother, your sister conning you with just a little small bowl of food? And then you realize you didn't got them, they didn't got you to sign over, you know, your something, excuse me, very valuable, like your house. They said, send me the deeds over to your house, and I'll just cook this royal meal for you. You know, maybe they fix you filet mignon, baked potato, broccoli, a salad, and they cook you a nice, you know, cheesecake or, you know, or some kind of dessert with strawberries on it or whatever. Pound cake, sweet potato pie, pecan pie, you know, whatever. They just know what you like, and they fix it for you. But that's a con artist. But now, you know, not only did he reap the results, but, you know, he was also an affectionate man. You know, for him to see Rachel and just love on her, he didn't touch her. No. He didn't touch her. He didn't have sex with her. He just saw her and loved her just like that. You know, many of us do that. We'll see somebody and we'll fall instantly in love with them. Ain't got nothing. You just see me go like, oh, my God. They are such a, you know, whatever it is drawing you to them, you know, you just think, oh, my God. You know, he was affectionate. He was industrious. You know, he worked for 7 years. Now, guess what? The trick he played on his brother was played back on him. Laban told him, he said, okay, after 7 years, I'm going to give you Rachel. So he worked and he worked because he just couldn't wait. You know, I mean, he worked. I bet he thought about Rachel every day, even when she wasn't around. He was thinking about Rachel. You know, that's how we're supposed, that's how God wants us to love him. He wants us to put all our affections towards him, and everything else is secondary. Well, you know, this came back on him. So Laban told him, he said, okay, you're going to get married today. So he tricked him, just like Jacob tricked his brother. He got Leah, who was not as attractive as Rachel, and he didn't want, Jacob did not want Leah, but they put a gown on her, a wedding gown, and they put such thick, you know, the headpiece over her so he couldn't see who she was. You know, today we got these modern dresses. They all cut out, half your body showing, and ain't got no covering over your head. But then their heads were covered. They had on these long gowns, and so he didn't know who he was marrying. He just knew that, you know, he was going to marry who he worked 7 years for. But guess what? On the wedding night, when he got ready to consummate the marriage, to have sex with her, it wasn't Rachel. Oh, my God, he was so mad. Can you imagine? Just like his brother was mad, now he was mad. Because now he had played a trick on, a major trick on his brother. Now guess who the trick was on? Him, on Jacob. So he was married to Leah. He didn't hate Leah. But that wasn't who he was working for, so he had to work 14 years, before Rachel's father gave her to him. Now, you know, even though, you know, he was hardworking, but you know what? He was a praying man, too. He prayed to God. Yes, he did. In Genesis 32:9-12, let me read it to you. Jacob prayed to God now, and he did, you know, a lot of us have heard this story before. This is one of the famous stories in the Bible about Jacob and how he wrestled. So it's in Genesis 32:9-12, and Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, O God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said it unto me, return into thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies, of all the truth, which thou hast showed unto thy servant, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am becoming two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother and from the hand of Esau, and I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and my mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make the seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for the multitude. Okay, verse 24 says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for a prince has thy power of God with men and has prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore it is that thou doest after my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob wrestled, you know, that's a really great story in the Bible. Jacob wrestled with that angel all night long. And to prove he had the, you know, something touched his thigh. So, you know, he says Jacob was a man of faith. In Hebrews 11:21, it says, while Jacob was dying, this was when he had gotten old, his faith led him to bless each one of Joseph's sons. Now, this was his, you know, his grandchildren. No, that was his son later on. You know, that was his baby son. Please forgive me. That was his baby son, Joseph. And he leaned on the top of his staff and worshiped God. You know, this is the story of a young man who was a sinner. Jacob was a sinner, and he turned from his sinful ways into a God-fearing man. After he was saved, he met a beautiful woman, and he fell in love with her. His love for her was so great that he worked 7 years for her, and then circumstances led him to work 7 more years for her. The things that he did as a sinner followed him, causing consequences for the wrong he had done before he gave his life to God. You know, what was Rachel like? Rachel was a kind person. She was she waited. She was very patient. She waited those 14 years for him. She knew he was working to get her, and she wanted him. But they waited 14 years before they got married. So she was a very patient woman, and, you know, at some point in her life, she was something like Jacob earlier before she gave her life to God. She was a thief and a liar. She stole from her own father. She was beautiful and shapely. She loved children. She wanted children so bad. Now, Jacob's wife, before Rachel, who was Rachel's sister, she had plenty of children. But Rachel didn't have any. But she started to pray, and she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed. And she, you know, her sister taunted her. You know how people pick at you? Yeah. You know, he may love you, but you ain't got no children for him. But anyway, you know, it really was vexing to her soul. But she overcame all that. God stopped. He shut up her womb. God did it. It wasn't because, you know, she didn't want him. God shut her womb up. And when it was the time, she had children. What can we learn from dating from God's people, Jacob and Rachel? During Bible days, people didn't date. Their future husbands and wives were chosen for them. Their neighbors, you know, church people, whomever, you know, their parents chose for them. But people watched the character of people in the neighborhood. You know how you see children in the neighborhood, you say, yeah, you know, that's Miss So-and-so's son, or that's Miss So-and-so's daughter. But you know what? They are good children. or that so-and-so's children, you know, they're always in trouble, you know, they're in juvenile detention, and they're, you know, they're always fighting. And, you know children in the neighborhood. You know who they are. So people then, they watch the character of young men and young women, and they would tell their children, you know, this one is going to be chosen for you because they're more suitable for you. Your personalities are suitable for one another. You know, what does God say about us as individuals today? You know, even, you know, when you look back, I'm backing up a little bit. When you look at the life of Jesus Christ, whose parents were Mary and Joseph, you know, the Holy Ghost came upon Mary, and she bare a child, but she did not have sex with Joseph until after Jesus was born, and they were married. So God has a plan. God has a plan. What does God say about us as individuals today? How are we to live before him? Concerning, you know, 1 Corinthians 7:1 says, now concerning the things you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let every man have his own wife and every woman her own husband. Now, you know that was Paul writing, and he wrote it for a reason. 1 Corinthians 7:34, there is a difference between a wife and a virgin. And you know what? A wife, she's married, and she's had sex with her husband, but a virgin is unmarried, and she's married to God, hopefully. A Christian, you know, woman is married to God, but she is not behaving like a married woman. She ain't having sex out here. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. And I'm like, Brother David, you know, I mean, I knew some things, I knew them in mentally, but as far as, you know, abstaining from a lot of things, I got involved in so many things before, you know, I when I look back, I'm like, oh, my God. You know, it's like when you sin, like Adam and Eve, their eyes were open. So when I sinned, my eyes became open, and I became ashamed of what I had done as a young woman. Now, I was brought up in the church and taught some things. I knew some things. But, you know, I really did not have the relationship with God that I needed. I went to church. Oh, yeah, I was a church child, church guy, a girl. But I still wasn't doing, you know, what I should have done. I did some things, many things I shouldn't have done. But thank God, he's a forgiving God. I repented. He forgave me. 1 Corinthians 7:36 says, but if any man thinks he's behaving improperly towards his virgin, you know, let them marry. They got to get married. You don't just, you know, have sex. You know, because a lot of times when people start having sex with each other, their eyes are open and they go like, this ain't all I thought it was. Let me go try, you know, John, or let me go try Sally, or let me go try Mary, or let me go try Harry. Maybe they're better. And before they know it, it's a whirlwind effect. You know, they've tried all of these people, and nothing has satisfied them. That's why God gave us restraint and protection. He said, okay, before you have sex, get married, and then make this a vow for life. Don't leave your mate. You know, we live in a world, you know, where people are living with each other. They're doing all kind of things and trying this out, and they look at marriage and they go like, uh-uh, that ain't for me. No, I don't want that. But, you know, God has a plan. You know, now what about dating? You know, what can we do as Christians? Can we go on dates? Yes, but we got to guard ourselves that we not sin against God. Who can I date? Can we date? You know, where can we go when we date? Christians should date other Christians so that you will be date somebody on the same spiritual level that you're in. You know, if you're in the eighth grade, you wouldn't want to date a kindergartner. And the same way, you know, on the spiritual level, you want somebody who can understand your relationship with God, and they'll have the same relationship with God, at least on the same level. So, yeah, first question. How do I know I'm old enough to date? Talk to your parents. Tell them about, you know, that you want to date. Pray with them. Are you mature enough to handle dating? Can you date? What about spiritual conversations? You want somebody, you know, if you're going to date, to have, you know, you can have spiritual conversation. You don't be having talking about, yeah, I just want to, you know, a little bit. Come on, I you're not going to get pregnant. You know, all those lies. You don't want to hear that. Uh-uh. So I remember my girlfriend and I, we were in junior high. And we made a pact together. We said we weren't going to have sex until we got married. And, you know, I never forget. A friend came to me and he said she was pregnant. I said, she ain't pregnant. No, she not going to be pregnant until she get married. I just knew that he was not telling the truth. I was so upset. Finally, she came and told me herself, and she told me the lie he told her. But guess what? They've been married over 40-some years. They had that baby and another one. So God turned it around for their good. So I thank God. You know, God has a plan for all of us. I've been married, divorced, and never had children of my own. But, you know, God has turned so many things around for my good. And he's a good God. Yeah, we can date. But what are the, you know, what do we do to protect ourselves when we date? You know, if a person uses foul language, even as an adult, I met a man on the bus. And I mean, he cussed like a sailor. I was trying to run at him. I'm like, no. If a person uses foul language, does drugs, smoke, is involved in sexual activity, and says they're a Christian or, you know, or want to, you know, to be with you, or they need your help to change, you better run. I mean, you better run. The Bible says resist the devil, and he'll flee from you, and you better run too. You better run. Don't you know when Joseph was accused of going with Potiphar's wife? He ran. She kept his coat, and he ran. He left that coat, and he ran. So we got to run from something. We got to run. You know, when the devil's on our tail, we got to run sometimes. They say you got to know when to run. You got to know when to fight. You know that song. Where can you go, you know, when you date? The best thing is to group date. You know, nobody taught me how to date when I was growing up. You know, I grew up during a time where, you know, they let boys come to your house. You couldn't always go, you know, where you want to go, in the car or whatever. You could go, you know, in my home. He came to my house. We went to the prom together. We wasn't in and out no car together. We ain't go hardly nowhere together. He was at my house. And we sat and talked. We didn't do a lot of going. I really didn't go out until I was off about 18, 19 years old. But I thank God because it preserved me. It kept me from getting in a lot of trouble. I could have had 5 or 6 babies going here and going there, going there, going there. But, you know, something in me said, no, I ain't going that way. I want to go to college. I wasn't but 21, but I tell you, I still went. So, you know, there are things that we can do to keep ourselves, you know, group date, go to movies. You can do all, I mean, there's so many places you could go. You could group date, you know, you could go bowling, you could go out to eat. You don't have to sit in the car with your hands all over each other, your mouth all over each other. Save that for your mate. Don't give your hearts away. Save that for your mate. Well, you know, next week we're going to continue this. I want to say a prayer for our youth. And then next week we're going to continue this message. I want to say a prayer from Apostle Kimberly Daniels' book. We're a little bit over time, but just be patient with me. The Next Generation Prayer. This is for our youth. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I lift up the next generation. I bind the spirit of a cosmic creator. I come against the spirit that will put the spotlight of the world to make it appear more beautiful and dazzling than it really is. I declare this spirit has been bound and rendered weak and powerless. I declare that the generation that is being birthed will have a thirst and a hunger for God as never before. I release prayer warriors in elementary schools, in middle schools, high school, colleges. Release your anointing, God, to the technical colleges, beauty colleges, your trade schools, and other places of training and education. God, anoint your people to represent you in the marketplace, Hollywood, political arena, professional athletes, and other industries of influence in the lives of young people. I break the curse of the fatherless generation. I thank you for the spirit of the father being released in this nation. I bind the spirit of abortion. Deal with the powers that be concerning innocent bloodshed in our land, Father God. Lord, let every snare, wicked plan and evil device set against the unborn babies be broken now in the name of the Lord. The devices set against our children from the womb to college are broken in the name of Jesus. We bind every perverse spirit that will come against children, incubus and succubus, masturbation, homosexuality, pornography, incest, molestation, rape, and other sexual crimes of spirits of violation. You will not steal the purity of our children. I declare that every wicked imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God is stricken to the ground and destroyed. We declare that our young people will walk in their portion and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No longer will peer pressure, plague, and pull down the young people. They shall shine as light on the top of the hill and draw others into the kingdom. God, your word says that if you be lifted up, men will be drawn to you. I declare that our next generation will lift you up. We speak boldness of the Holy Ghost to young men and young women to speak the commandments of the Lord and walk in the fierce obedience of God. They shall prophesy with precision.
Let me go on mute. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I speak they will the boldness of the Holy Ghost to men and young women to speak the commandments of the Lord and walk in the fierce obedience to God. They shall prophesy with precision, teach with accuracy, lead with apostolic authority, win souls with the fire of evangelism, and be shepherds with the heart to feed the sheep. They will go to bed with the hunger of the Lord in their bellies and wake up with the thirst of God in their mouths. All generational curses are broken. The blessings and anointing of the Lord are permeating and spreading throughout the bloodline of the next generation. Their homes shall be places of peace. They will inhabit, inherit, and possess the land. Curses of the economy from this generation shall not plague the next generation. The spirit of the good stewardship is the portion of the next generation. I declare that slothfulness, hallelujah, slothfulness and laziness cannot thrive in our young people. In Jesus' name, our young people who will run our nation tomorrow, they shall have good success and not fail. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at the other, and no harm shall come near their dwelling of the next generation. Rebellion and rejection are broken off of our children in the name of Jesus. They are displaced by the spirits and meekness of truth. Faith and joy are released to the next carriers of the torch of the Lord. Lord, I call for psalmists, musicians, intercessors, missionaries, preachers, authors, marketplace apostles, ministry teams, and financiers to support the vision of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit that will cause young people to tattoo and pierce their bodies. I bind suicide, alcohol, and drug usage. Every door to the demonic is closed through music, movies, videos, games, and the internet. Demons released through MySpace, Facebook, and other modes of transportation for demons on the internet, airway, are bound. I bind up the subliminal meaning of www, which means 666, and I bind the beast of the internet. Lord, I know that many good things happen on the internet in your name, but the powers of the accursed things that flow into the lives of our children are broken. Every spirit of idolatry released to seduce the next generation is broken. The covert operations of devil worshipers, the five percenters, fraternities and sororities, masons and shrineheads, shriners and skinheads, Black Panthers, New Black Panthers, street gangs, and other organizations that have negative influence on our young people are bound and blocked. I pulled down strong holds of the images of the world released by the movie industry, television, and media. The spirit of needs is bound and cannot control the minds of the next generation through secular humanism, the New Age movement, Scientology, and other movements that promote values that do not line up with holiness and right standing with Christ. Father, let our children be focused and steadfast on you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're coming to a close on Boys to Men, Girls to Ladies. We're going to continue next week. Brother David, hopefully, will come back and continue his message. It was a powerful message. And I thank God for the things that he shared with us about young, you know, to young people, the things he learned as a young man, the things he's learning now in life as a young man and as a husband, as a father, and, you know, how he spoke to young people about, you know, not messing up your body. Don't make sure you don't have tattoos and pull your pants up and dress right. And he even talked in Proverbs 1, verse 10, how Solomon spoke to his son about how he should live and how, you know, he shouldn't take innocent blood. So I thank God for that message, Brother David. It was awesome. Are you there, Brother David? All right, he got a phone call, so he may not be on right now, but we look forward to him coming on. It's closing time. Does anybody want prayer or you have anything you want to share? Press 1. All right. Well, I thank God for each of you. I pray that each of you are saved. If not, salvation is offered today. You know, the Lord said, if you confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father. And, you know, read Romans 10:9 and 10. It talks about salvation, you know, confessing Jesus Christ with your lips. And, you know, sometimes we slide back. You know, Adam slid back. He sinned against God, and it has harsh consequences. So we have to be careful not to sin against God because we don't want those harsh consequences. We really want the blessings of the Lord. So I thank God for each of you today, for you being on with us on Boys to Men, Girls to Ladies. I love each of you, but guess what? Father God loves you more than I can even love you. And he has an eternal love that, you know, he loved you so much that you've been the only person on the earth. Guess what? Jesus would have come just for you. So we have to thank Jesus because he made us an awesome sacrifice because of the love that he has for you and me. So stay tuned on Saturday to Bible Storyland. It's Joyful Praise Day. Bible Storyland, dial in the same number, 1-619-789-4313. I invite each of you to listen, and it is closing time today. So anybody have anything to say, press 1. Well, as I said before, I thank God for you, love you. Have a God-filled evening, a God-filled week, a God-filled month, and a God-filled year. Look forward to talking to you soon. Talk to you later. Love y'all. Bye.